we're gonna publish this tomorrow, okay?
Tomorrow?
Oh yeah, we'll just publish it, man. Come on, we haven't been keeping up to every other Monday schedule anyway.
Okay,
right?
I'll see what I can do.
Oh yeah, we gotta edit it too. Oh, been a while since we did it. Sorry, man. No, take your time. We'll publish Monday whenever you have time.
Hello and welcome to episode 13 of Joomcast, the podcast that features people who are part of the Joomla community and discovers how they got here, what they contribute to Joomla, where they're going, and a whole bunch more. My name is Tim Davis of CyberSalt and the Basic Joomla Tutorials YouTube channel, and I'm here with my co-host Chaitin Madan of JoomDev, who are behind Asteroid Framework for Joomla and the newly released page builder for Joomla, JD Builder. Hey, Chaitin.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
It has been a long time.
Yeah, let me say my part and then we'll get into this. Yeah,
that sounds good.
For those of you who don't know about Joomla, Joomla is a CMS or a content management system for building websites. As of today's recording date, Joomla is running version 3.9.15 stable. And for Joomla 4, we have Alpha 12, which is the same as what we had last time.
We want to hear from you. You can contact us on Twitter at Joomcast, or if you're listening to us on anchor.fm, you can push the send message button and leave a voice comment up to a minute long. We might even include your comment in a future episode. Let's meet our guest for today.
It's Chaitin Madan and Tim Davis. We're just talking to each other.
That's right. We've not put out an episode since like December the 2nd with Dark Schneeg. And so we thought for this episode, we would just catch up because we have lots that we could talk about. One of the major themes is going to be, we're going to talk about what it's like to be self-employed and going on long trips, because Chaitin and I have been world travelers in the last month and a half.
We just went to a different continent, that's all.
Well, that's part of the world. All right, so Chaitin, where did you go? What was your big trip?
I was in the U.S. for almost a month. Oh, and I could not imagine that. So I'd call this trip like a sabbatical I took after four or five years of planning. I wasn't planning for this like from 5 years, but I had not taken a vacation this long for more, like before I got married or something like that. So this was a big thing for me. And I was partially working while I was away, but then at the same time, I was not working for so many days. So it was a good experience for me, taking that much, at least, you know, at least 2 weeks is what I got away with. And it was a good trip. Yeah.
So you were meeting with clients on the East Coast, and then you met with clients on the West Coast of the States.
So no, not really. I don't have so many people on the West Coast, at least who want to see me, you know. So most of the people were in East Coast, in the tri-state area. We got together, met with some great people, had Indian food pretty much everywhere I went. Everyone seems to like Indian, and probably because I'm vegetarian. And on the West Coast, we had fun too, you know. We did the Highway 1 down from San Diego. Well, not really San Diego, but that's where it starts, up to San Francisco. So that was good. And we spent almost three and a half days on that ride. So that was a really scenic route. Anyone in that area or wanting to visit the U.S. and is, you know, wants like nature views or whatever, I'd highly recommend that. So what were you doing?
My traveling came about very unexpectedly. At the near the end of December, I got invited to the Forum for the Future that Joomla held in Marbella, Spain. And I have never traveled internationally before, so that was, I kind of had to make myself do it. It was, I don't like traveling without my wife anyways. I like doing stuff together. And often when we travel, I just let her pick out the signs where we're going in the airport and things like that. So anyways, I made myself do it. And I think it was like 13,600 miles I did in 12 days flying, getting to the Forum. Then I had a day after the Forum, I went to Gibraltar with a new friend that I made, Chris Justice. So got up Gibraltar. There's monkeys on Gibraltar. I had no idea. That was just a big rock. Oh yeah, no, I missed. Yeah, I missed my flight into Newark, New Jersey, was late because there's snow on the West Coast, and we don't usually get that, so they don't factor for de-icing, and so I missed a flight to Dublin, and so ended up rerouting to Madrid and taking the train. But yeah, that was yeah. There's lots of adventures, and then after that, my plans to come back changed, and I went and spent 3 days in Jersey. The Channel Island off the coast of France with Phil Taylor and had an awesome time there and then ended up flying back. So that was my big world traveling thing. Yes, he is, and he runs MySights.guru. So no, I just had a great time. Jersey's such a beautiful island, tons of history there, and I did talk about it in a couple of my streams. You just go to the channel, Basic Joomla Tutorials on YouTube, and you can hear about my trip and also my impressions about Forum for the Future, and check it
Yeah.
out.
For those of you who were not invited to the Forum for the Future, don't worry, I wasn't invited either. I don't know how they picked, but Tim was invited and I was not. So yeah, there's some partiality there.
Yeah, I don't know how I got picked either, but I was happy to be there. So I could come up with a theory of why you didn't get picked, but who knows? Anyway, so I thought one of the things that you and I would talk about here is tips for traveling when you're self-employed. I mentioned that before, because the businesses that you and I are in and that many of our listeners are doing, you need to be near the computer to be available for clients. There's always the possibility of things going down and other things that arise. So, Chaitin, what's one of your tips for being away such a long time from your business?
Well, I'll start with getting on a plane. Don't take a connecting flight and travel on the weekends. I know the flight's expensive, but I always try to book my ticket in advance as soon as I know my plans are set, whether that be 6 months, three to 6 months in advance at least. All right. And I always try to take the direct flight. So, if I board, then I'll be landing. Hopefully, you never know. But at least I'm not worried if the flight's getting late because of snow, because of fog, because of whatever reasons that I will be missing something. The only thing I'll be missing is probably a day's worth of hotel rent or something like that.
So you had just one flight from India to New York?
Yeah, and one back.
Oh wow, 16 hours, that's a long time. My flight back from Gatwick to Calgary was very interesting because we went up over Iceland, Greenland, and very far northern Canada. And this time of year, of course, in January, when we took off, the sun was above our wing. The further north we went, it actually went lower in the sky and was very down close to the horizon. And then as we started heading south to Calgary, then the sun started going up again. So it was just going up and down in the sky. So that was pretty cool. So one of the tips that you and I both have for being away is to have a server buddy. And
Yeah,
that's
server buddy, that's a term you came up with.
server buddy. So Chaitin and I are server buddies, and that's a term that I coined because we both are with LiquidWeb, the company that's hosting the servers that we have. We both have access to each other's accounts if something happens while we're in the air or we're away. And we also have uptime monitors for key sites for our clients. So if something went down, I'd be notified of Chaitin's client being down, and likewise he of my clients being down, and could actually call into the server. And I think that's something that was why I switched to LiquidWeb, because you were so happy with them. And before, I had a server that I had to manage, so I never ever got a break from thinking, oh, here I am in a plane for 5 hours or 9 hours. If the server goes down right as we're taking off, that could be bad. So we've got each other
Right.
covered for that.
And I used to, at least before we shared a login and I shared the login and I got a little bit comfortable traveling. I used to have that kind of nightmare because there's this TV show called Entourage, and in it there's this guy called Turtle. He's trying to travel to his girlfriend from Los Angeles, I think, to France or something. So it's like a 14, 15-hour flight or something. All right. Yeah, I've watched it like 5 years ago, probably. So bear with me on the details. Okay. She doesn't answer. And when he's sitting in the plane, she answers. and she tells him, don't come, you know, we're done, okay? And then he tries to get off the plane. And the air hostess is like, you can't get off the plane. But he's like, no, I have to get off because I don't want to go. She's like, yeah, okay, you can get off. There's a $250,000 fine, and you'll go directly to jail. Okay, so I always have that nightmare that, you know, the plane is about to get off, I don't want to check my phone, because if there's something that I need to do, then I'm not able to do it, and then I'm going to be worrying about it for the next 16 hours, you know? So, but having a quote-unquote server buddy is very helpful, because changes can wait, but what cannot wait is downtime. And it's important when you are in the maintenance or the hosting business, like we are partially, it's very important to make sure the website stays up always.
So if anyone listening does not have a server buddy or someone that you can leave things with when you're going on vacation or even being out of internet range, there's places I travel here on my island that there's no internet and I'll be gone for a day, then that's something definitely to consider, a business continuance plan for even just short-term things like that.
Right. Web hosting companies like Liquid Web, the one we use, they do have this monitoring system where they monitor your website. And if MySQL or Apache was to go down, they will pick it up in like 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. But I feel like that's too much of the time, at least in business hours, when I'm up, when Tim is up. And if that kind of time is acceptable with you and your clients, then you're fine. It's just something that is A, not acceptable with me, and B, neither acceptable with my clients, and C, I don't think that's just something I should be offering as part of the service. Hey, the website can go down for like 15 minutes and you just got to wait it out. So, yeah. You know, website hosting companies do have those kind of plans, but it's just making sure you always have it up.
Now, you mentioned sitting on the plane and being that fear of getting a phone call just before you have to go into airplane mode. What are your tips for internet access while you're on vacation?
Well, if you're traveling from India, you know, and so that's what I did. We got the roaming on my Indian number, which was like 60 US dollars or something. And I could make calls all over the US and I could make calls back home. And I could receive unlimited Indian calls. And then I got a second phone. So this one was for my wife. I got a second local number, which was Leica Mobile or something. And that's for $30. And you get unlimited calls to the US and India for like 28 days and like 10 gigs of data or something. What did you use when you were traveling?
I used my own cell plan. So I with a company in Canada, TELUS. And if I go to the States, I pay $8 a day, and I get my data, and I have texting. I'm unclear about the calls, so I didn't make too many calls. Of course, I had WhatsApp or Facebook for calls as well, or Skype. But on my plan, it was $12 a day in Europe. That worked out really well for me because I never looked into if there was a European SIM card, but so in traveling, I went, I was in the US, I was in England, I was in Spain, I was in Gibraltar, and then in Jersey. Oh, and actually there was a flight back from Spain to Portugal before I went up to London. So I was able to just use my phone each day in Europe, even going into different countries. And I used it for the data for, I could get mail, I could check maps, I was sending on Facebook, and I was also catching Pokemon that you can only catch in Europe. So,
and you know, that's how I think it works in Europe, because we went to London a couple of years back, and then we were in Europe as well. And the SIM card we bought, I think it was from Vodafone or something. And the way it works is you get like 5 gigs of data in London, but like 2 gigs in... So 5 gig translates to 2 gigs in Europe or something like that, just because you were buying in London. But they do realize that people travel often. And even though they're countries, I think they're more like states, at least for you, Canada, right? Yep. Because they're so nearby. You can just drive to from France to down to Spain or up to Holland, Netherlands or whatever, yep, just by a car. So I think all SIM cards, if you were to buy a European one, would work like that, where you can travel within the Europe with little or no roaming
Oh, okay.
charges. At least as a traveler, you know. It might not be for the local people, but at least as a traveler, I think you could do that. Because we did that from between London and Paris.
Okay. Well, I never looked into that. I just knew that I had it, and I thought that would just be simpler. It worked out really handy. You know, when I got that trip to Gibraltar, I went with a new friend I met at the conference, Christopher Justice. And so we were actually up on Rock of Gibraltar, and I got out my phone to look at maps because we were trying to figure out how to get to certain features that were there just to make sure we were in the right place. So what did you take with you for as far as devices,
Oh,
business and
I
stuff?
borrowed my friend's laptop. I mean, I have a MacBook, but then I can't really code on a Mac because I'm not familiar to Mac. I just use it for checking emails and stuff because it's convenient. But I am a desktop guy. But then my friend has this very powerful laptop. It's an i7 with like 64 gigs RAM and all the fancy stuff, SSD and stuff. So I took that laptop, and it's like a desktop, but in a laptop form, not that heavy though. And then I obviously used a mouse as well, wherever. I didn't use it that much because mostly I was not coding or writing code, and I'm not a coder. So when I say code, it really means adding patches and making small fixes, you know, stuff that I can do. But even for that, I just feel like having a Windows computer was important. You took a Windows too?
Yeah, I took my laptop, the laptop that we have here. It's an Asus. That was pretty bulky. I kind of wish I didn't have to take it with me. I was thinking maybe I should get something smaller for traveling maybe next time.
Yeah, Macs are, you know, if you get a MacBook, they're pretty lightweight. You know, you can check your email and stuff, and then they have pretty good battery time, and you can just fold it. It hibernates, and then the battery doesn't go away that well, and they boot up pretty fast too.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people at the forum had very thin MacBooks, and that would work for me because basically I just needed to be able to log on, check server stuff. I had one client who updated passwords on email accounts but didn't change it on all devices and got their office blacklisted by IP, so they called me
Yeah,
one.
for stuff like that, you know, a MacBook, anything with a browser is fine.
You know, I really wanted to be in the moment to traveling, so I didn't need the laptop because I had tons of work to do. I did type out a long letter for a couple of hours on the flight back.
What do you do when you're on the flight to kill time? Like, you were alone, right? I was with my wife. We could talk about stuff.
Yeah.
You were alone. What do you do to kill time?
Well, I tried to get comfortable. I tried to sleep. You know, there's always movies on the flight. I didn't watch any movies this time. I did do a little bit of reading. Yeah, I did not really do a much. I did actually a lot of thinking on the flight, just enjoying being away and catching a bit of a snooze here and there when I got the chance. But
Yeah, that moment of isolation is sometimes good, right? You don't have internet, there are no phone calls coming, even if it's for like 10 hours.
for me, this being a huge trip, a bigger trip than I've ever taken by myself, I was really enjoying it and thinking a lot and just enjoying being away. And after on the transatlantic flight in the morning, I look out and we flew over Ireland, so there's things to see to pass the time away.
I download like my favorite podcast before getting on a plane. I
Yes.
always try to carry a book. This time I did not because we had so much luggage, but I always try to carry a book or two and then download my favorite podcast. So in case I want to listen to something, you know, I can just listen to it rather than reading just one book along the way, which sometimes gets a little boring, you know.
Now, one of the things that I set out to do on my trip to help things be easier, I did not check a bag. I brought along a suitcase that would fit in the overhead bin, and then I had my backpack with the laptop and some various things. So I had really tight connections, and I didn't want to be tied up trying to check bags or find them or whatever. So that worked out really well. Another thing was I decided I was going to ask for help along the way. So instead of being confused about what to do next, I would look for information people or desk, and I would say, which way to get to gate such and such? Or can you tell me how to, I need to catch the train over to the fast train. Instead of just, you know, I figured it's just going to be a lot easier to find my way. It's not something that comes naturally, I think, to a lot of people, especially to us as men sometimes, to just like go and say, hey, can you help me? But it certainly made it a lot easier to keep moving. Another thing I wish that I'd done a little bit differently was that as I was making purchases, I wish I had organized them or wrote on them what they were for, because I was sorting through them yesterday and to organize them and record them. A lot of them were in Spanish and I had no idea what they were for. So
Something that I regret I should have done when booking an Airbnb, you should try to look like the square feet area of the place, because we booked a place and it looked so good, had great reviews and everything, but it just was such a small place. You cannot imagine being there for 5 days, you know? And yeah.
You had to go outside to change your mind.
Yeah, something like that.
Another thing I think as a reminder, travel is as wonderful as it is. We're getting in these steel tubes and we're flying 16 hours around the world or across the world and other things. It is taxing, it is draining, and you're doing it with a whole bunch of other people. So be kind to people along the way, especially people working in the airports. Just be kind and give them a smile. And if you run into problems, like I did with the flight that arrived late and trying to get rebooked on something else, it's not the fault of the person who's working at the ticket desk. They're just doing their job to try to reroute you. So I think it's a time to be super careful and extra focused. I'm being kind to people around because kindness goes a long way when you're traveling, especially when you're in a place that you're not familiar with.
In a foreign place. I couldn't agree more. I think you should just be a kind person in general
Oh,
when when you're back home too.
yes, I'm all for kindness at home as well. Well, Chayton, guess what time it is?
Time for rapid fire?
It's time for rapid fire.
Right, so this is really exciting. Tim wrote three questions that I don't know what they are,
Yeah,
and
and
we
Chayton has
promised
three questions. I don't know what they are.
not to edit those. Okay. Tim, so we'll ask these one by one. Our opinion is kind of same. I think our questions might be repeated. And my questions are all negative. It's all about it's just negative stuff that's on my mind that I want to get out one way or the other.
All
All
right.
right. So I'll let you ask the first one.
All
Yeah.
right.
All right.
What did you miss most being in a different culture?
Indian food.
That comfort food. Okay. That's a good quick
Yeah.
answer. Oh boy, here it comes. I'm scared now.
What do you think, based on your experience at the Forum for the Future, quote unquote, air quotes, I'm using air quotes here, what do you think is responsible for the Joomla 4 delay?
Oh boy.
Yeah,
Well,
it's not
let
a
me.
one-liner. Yeah, it's not a
Yeah.
one-word answer.
Okay. What's
And again,
responsible?
it's your thinking, all
Yeah.
right? I'm not asking you to blame someone. I'm not asking you to make any accusations. Being in that environment, since it was your first time being with so many people who are from the Joomla community, what do you think could be responsible? Because we talked to Mark, we talked to everyone we talked to so far, pretty much everyone said they are in Joomla for the community. Well, how is the community not working?
Yeah. So today's a Wednesday when we're recording this. I just did my Watch Me Work live stream number 62, and I've got probably have an hour and a half, close to 2 hours video talking about my reflections and opinions about Forum for the Future. But you're asking specifically about why Joomla 4 is delayed. I probably don't have enough insight or expertise into the software or programming of it and everything. I do think that obviously at this point it's delayed because something has come off the rails or something is just not happening. It might be that we have tried to do too much. Especially with the sense that it's been so long since Joomla 3 was released. So for our next release really needs to be a real showstopper, especially I think some might think a showstopper to get back a lot of market share we've lost over the years. And if, so maybe it might be a case of trying to take on too much, or add too much, or maybe even mission creep. We just keep finding new things that would be great and that we want that would be awesome. I also think too that the, you know, and this is a big, one of my big points in my live stream that I did, that there's dynamics within the community itself, and everyone loves it. I love the community. It was so great meeting people in person, and meeting new people. Our community is made up of great people, talented people, skilled people, hardworking people. But there is, also is an element of conflict and unresolved differences and ongoing negativity that's to a degree is somewhat toxic. And I think that with a huge undertaking like coming out with Joomla 4, and then also with that taking place amongst some of our most key and needed people, that that certainly can disrupt the flow of something which is a massive undertaking anyway. So I think that those are some of the factors. I couldn't just say one specific thing because I, you know, I don't have experience or knowledge of that area, and I'm not inside. Every now and then you and I see a discussion that's taking place somewhere, but I think that that would probably be some of the key factors that have played into it. All right, now I've got to find another question here. That's, man, because it's gonna be tough cop, nice cop here. I actually had nothing here about Shima. All right, so Chayton, how did you change as a person on your trip recently? You know, you're away for a whole month from what is common to you. And well, that's a great opportunity to look at oneself. So, if at all, how did being away so long on that trip change you?
Yeah, I think if is important. Yeah. I think I did change, and one of the things, again, it's the time away from computer and phone that really helps, that isolation that really helps. So even though we had internet access all the time, but I was not working. And that kind of gives you time to reflect upon your actions and really kind of steer where you're going. So as a person, I always ask this question myself, what am I doing? And why am I doing what I'm doing? I always, and even I ask you this question sometimes, you know, purpose of life. You know, sometimes, some days, some weeks, it's clear to me. Some days, it's not clear to me. And I think traveling for a month, meeting all these amazing people that I met, whether it be my clients, whether it be a few of the friends I met, whether it be all the people we met when we were, you know, on a beach or, you know, Universal Studios, theme parks, and all that stuff. I think meeting all these people and seeing a totally different culture for such a long time does add a lot of power, does have a lot of power and influence over you, and does change you. So for explaining it, I think I changed for better understanding how to live a life of contentment.
All
Now it's
right.
my turn.
Yeah, it's
All
your
right,
turn. Just a sec.
it's a follow-up question to the last one. Go ahead.
Let me just put my helmet on.
All right, so based on all of what you saw and what you said in the last answer, you know, it's not one thing, it's a combination of all these different things. If tomorrow you were made the president of Joomla, and again, it's a tough question, all right? What are some of the changes or things that you would change? What are some of the changes you'd make, and what are the things that you'd change?
All right, well, I looked at the job description for, or the role description for president, and saw a bunch of areas that are not areas of strength for me. But
Oh, you did. Okay.
yeah, I think that one of the toughest things in a community is, toughest times in a community is when they need to deal with members of the community who are really problematic to the progress of a community. And I don't, and I don't mean that we just cruelly turf people, but I think it's possible within a community when large personalities are holding a lot of sway over direction or keeping things the same or not going a certain way or whatever. It can be you can get stuck. And I think I see in Joomla the results of being stuck in community in the sense that when things are allowed to continue on with some of the things that in the way that people treat each other or then you don't have a safe place to discuss ideas, you don't have a safe place to agree to disagree, and things start to break down and become not functional or dysfunctional. And that is a super challenging time to just it's not laying the hammer down, but to just saying, look, we have got to find a way out. This is the direction, and if and we're going to go in this direction, and it's going to be perhaps painful if we lose people. It may be even painful if we tell people this is the direction we're going, and you have to just accept it, or else you'll just have to find something else in life that will make you happy because we can't continue on like that. So I think that that would be probably the biggest challenge or thing that I would change if I was in control. And we ask our guests that. What would you change if you were in control? So I don't think that being a president means that you're in control, but certainly you would have, if you were in a position like that, you would be able to have great influence. To try to lead in that way, whether it would work or not, I don't know. But I think that would be the key thing, because as I've said, we've got smart people, we've got talented people, we have hardworking people, we have people. It's not the quality of our people. It's how we treat our people that is, I think, where we're creating our greatest weakness.
Is it the treatment of the people or the management of the people in general? Or do we need management?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, there's lots of, I mean, how do you mean management? Like hiring someone?
Not really. So I remember I asked you this question a while back regarding the nonprofit I work with. Like, we're having trouble with volunteers, right? We're having trouble getting volunteers and then retaining volunteers. And I asked you because you come from the same background. You were in a church, so obviously most of the majority of people coming there were volunteers, and you had a very three almost 3 decades of experience working with volunteers, working with stuff like that. So that's where I'm coming from. Do you need to manage volunteers as long as you tell them their roles and responsibilities and your expectations from them?
Yeah, you have to, and that's the thing about I mean, in a sense that if someone goes to the hospital, you need a doctor that can not only tell them that they're sick, but also oversee their treatment because they're not able to care for themselves. So in a community, you have people that are you don't have to control them or anything like that, but you have people that are trying to fit in, trying to find a place. They want to belong. We're created that way, so we want to be accepted by each other. We want to be valued. And if things get to a certain point, it just can be more efficient to have someone. So for instance, yeah, so for the 28 years that I was a pastor, I was paid to lead volunteers. And so that part of that was helping keep the eye on the goal. In a church setting or in a synagogue setting or in a faith setting, part of the goal is caring for the people as well. They're not just batteries to burn through in trying to do that. But yeah, so volunteer organizations can benefit greatly from people who understand their purpose, their makeup, their origin, but also understand what the goal is and to try to have the big picture and help them to move forwards towards it. And one of the concerns, I guess, that people have about say, someone who's paid to lead an organization or to coordinate a project, this is that that person's just going to take control and force people and treat them like employees. And in a volunteer organization, you need to find someone who understands that, how to treat people. But the same thing in businesses. If you're going to hire someone to run a business, you need to hire someone that knows how to treat the people in the business and create a culture where everybody is enjoying working together. So I don't think that hiring someone or having strategic hires for leadership or for handling certain areas defeats the purpose of being a community. As long as that person understands that part of their job is to protect the community and to care for it and to do things in a certain way. And there's plenty of examples out in the world where there's thousands of volunteers working under different paid people in everything from the Humane Society or the SPCA, that's they care for animals, to people that are caring for refugees, to people that are involved in environmental issues or trying to change. Even in political parties, you have paid people who are working, but you have lots of volunteers. So yeah, I think it can be beneficial to have someone who is a, whose job is officially to lead and have responsibility, but not just to do everything and to step in to help the goals and the purpose of the
Got
organization.
it. Now, my counter argument to that, and that's based on what I read on Twitter, is now I didn't have this argument because if you guys listen to any of the previous podcasts, I'm all in for hiring paid people. All right. I think that's the way to go. At least at this point, it is. I don't know about the complete future, and I have little to no experience running nonprofits. But my counter argument to that, based on what I read on one of the Twitter feed, for Zoomcast feed, is someone said that then the volunteers will not work because they'll say, we're not getting paid, but this guy who's leading us is, and that's not fair to the volunteers. What do you think of that? What's your, Tim's, personal opinion on that?
Well, my first opinion is that why not pay your volunteers if they're good enough? If someone is in an organization and you recognize that they're skilled and that they're able and they've got what you want, then pay them. There's lots of organizations that hire from within. That's the whole thing about internship programs. There's some interns, they do their time and they move on to finish their studies. So that there's others who are like, hey, this person's so good, do you want to come and work for us? So I have no problem. I have no problem if there's a certain company in Joomla, or a Joomla company or programmer who is really good and has got what we need. And we say, hey, look, we want to get this out. We need to get this going. Here's our budget. Will you do it for this? The difficulty is the dynamics of it, because if people are not emotionally in tune to themselves, they might not recognize jealousy. They might believe things should be coded a certain different way. There might be bad blood from the past. And then what happens is you try to do something simple like that. If everyone's going to start sniping it, then there's not even money that's really worth that, because you can just, anyone who's talented can go make money somewhere else, especially programming. Oh my goodness, you programmers are so short everywhere. If you're good, you should have work, which is why it's so hard for some of us to find programmers that are affordable to work on our projects, because they're out there, the good ones, they're doing it. Yeah, so I think in that sense, hiring or paying is okay. There's the ethos, or there's just the sense that the whole origin of Joomla was to make sure the code was not in a commercial bondage, so it was available for free, could be adapted for free. People were not restricted from taking part in it, and so that continues on, and that's a good core value that we have as in Joomla, but we shouldn't be so stuck to something that was part of our reason for beginning that we keep it from accomplishing some things for ourselves along the way. So I would say, if we hire someone to do something, we can very clearly stress that our goal is to not exclude people. Our goal is not to commercialize and force people to not have their ideas. Our goal is to contribute to develop the software that we want that's consistent with our original goals. And as far as if someone's being paid, people don't want to volunteer, volunteering has to be altruistic. If you're volunteering, and I guess it's kind of tricky, because if you volunteer because you want appreciation and you don't get it, then you're volunteering, but you're also doing something else. The other thing too is that to volunteer, you're giving of yourself, and you're giving yourself as a personal gift to something. You have to be willing to take correction or have someone suggest a different way to do things, and be able to listen so that and understand that when you're volunteer, and if not everyone agrees with you, or someone suggests you do something different, or you code something and someone says, that's really not a good way to do it, we'd like it a different way, that instead of you taking that as a personal rejection of everything that you are and that you don't have a place, you just say, hey, this is an opportunity for me to grow, and then just continue on. As long as it's done nicely, then, you know, again, you're looking at some kind of self-awareness that allows you to be a reasonable person. I was at Chamber of Commerce yesterday, and I talking about video, and I always suggest it when we're going around there giving our elevator pitches. And a guy came over to me, he has this vertical hydroponics invention that he's trying to get going for food security mm-hmm. in northern cities. And he says, oh, here, mm-hmm. I made this video here. And he showed it to me. And it was pretty good, but I had a couple little suggestions for him at points. And so I very carefully said, oh, that's really, you know, it's good. I said, you know, one thing that you can do when you're just showing a still photo is to do a Ken's burn effect motion thing. And he was really happy for that tip. He wasn't devastated that I didn't absolutely fall in love with his video, but he was open to it. And because he really wants to do better and wants to do the best that he can. So I think part of volunteering is, yes, you're giving yourself, you're giving of your time. If other people end up getting paid, you know, there's other things you get from volunteering, and you could always set the goal to try to increase in your skills. Maybe you'll get paid to do something, or just be glad that something came someone else's way. We don't all have to get everything that everybody gets.
I think that's a great answer that makes it for a statement.
All right. Well, time for an easy question. Because I think we had three questions, right? Yeah. I know the next one, you're going to ask me how to solve world hunger. That's where it's going. What's your next big trip? That was my killer question. What's
I don't know. I don't have anything on the agenda yet, but two places I've always wanted to visit. One is up north in my country. That's the state of Jammu and Kashmir. And it's a beautiful place up there. It snows there. You do a road trip in the area of Leh, but it's kind of a conflicted area between the India and Pakistan border. And the problem is, you know, in you only go in summer, because if you go in winter and it snows, the roads are closed and don't open up for days, just because not a lot of people live there. And it's a conflicted area, so they kind of close down internet whenever they feel like. They just shut down internet, you know, so people can't WhatsApp each other and call each other and whatever. And I can't be in an area that kind of. So that's one. And I always wanted to do a road trip in Europe, like landing in France. I have a buddy in Netherlands, so I want to visit him. And then probably, you know, all the Joomla folks are in Europe, so, you know, trying to see where they do all the Joomla stuff. Yeah.
So I think what you should do then, I'll plan a trip for you. In May, you travel to the Netherlands, visit your friend, and then you could do a road trip. I would suggest go by train, because, oh man, my train ride from Madrid to Malaga was incredible. Very comfortable. Oh, yeah. But anyways, then so in May, then go to Joomla and Beyond in Portugal. All right.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to be at that because I have to be at a conference. here in British Columbia. But anyways,
I know how this trip ends. Yeah. I don't come back home, but I go to Canada, right?
Well, no. Well, you end up at home. But anyway, so then go to Joomla + Beyond, meet all kinds of Joomla people. Then you fly to Canada. You come and see me on Vancouver Island. And then we go see some nice beaches and some thousand-year-old trees, all kinds of stuff. We'll have a great time. We'll meet in person. And then from the west coast of Canada, you just fly back to India across the Pacific, and then you've done a trip around the world.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I want to do a trip around the world, but not in one shot.
Well, no, you don't. You're going to stop in a few places, but... All right.
We'll see.
All right. What's your last question? Hit me with it.
So we talked about this before as well. Okay? And don't edit this part, okay? We talked about if Joomla goes away, what are we going to do, at least with Joomcast? Basically, we have our lives on the line here. Yeah, you know, I make my living 100% with Joomla today, mm-hmm. all right? Apart from a little bit of WordPress sites I manage, but at 100% Joomla, that's what I sell. And partially, I think you do too. If Joomla was to go away, we talked about a podcast, you know, we talked about naming it ShorePress, right? So everyone that has been sent on the shore because the Joomla ship didn't sail well, all right? Uh-huh. The Titanic thing happened. And, you know, we'll do that with the podcast. But then again, you know, we were just joking. I don't think we were serious at that time.
Well, I was serious.
Okay. All right. So, well, so now I'm asking, what's your plan if Joomla doesn't move forward? Yeah. What's your plan if Joomla doesn't grow from this point onward? If 4.0 never happens, or if it happens and it's the biggest disaster, biggest mistake Joomla has ever made?
Yeah, what, well, I mean, in one sense, and again, we always acknowledge the close relationships we have and the feelings we have for people we've interviewed and for the community. So it's not us plotting or scheming against Joomla when we have these conversations. But
oh, no, we're not plotting anything against. Yeah. Listen, at the end of the day, we have to be practical and look out for ourselves. The community cannot give us a living. We have to be able to make a living first before we can talk fun at Joomcast.
Again, in my live stream, I talk quite a bit about Joomla is a software product produced by a community. The community has to function and be healthy to produce that product. And the product has to do well for the community to be healthy. Well,
it's a chicken and egg situation, right?
Yeah,
one needs the other. And
I did. You know, for me, I think of it as it's a product produced by a community, because that's the focus. Everybody else in the community, most have other interests that would go on and join other communities, and maybe they already are, in multiple communities for things that they're interested in. So it's not a community that produces a product. Joomla is a product that is produced by a community, because the principles community will stay the same. The product may change. There may be something else. You know, there might be something that comes out in 3 years we can't even anticipate that absolutely kills Wix, WordPress, Joomla, everything. And so if the focus is we're a community that produces a CMS called Joomla, then it's fruitless in that case if everything goes away. But the discussion, your question, what would I do? I guess the bigger
bigger question is, what would someone's plan be? Someone's working dedicatedly on Joomla, and Joomla 4.0 is the biggest disaster since 2.5. Let's just hope that's not true. Yeah. But or A, it doesn't come out, or B, if it does come out and it's the biggest disaster since 2.5, what should be someone's plan moving forward?
Well, I think that we should continue on with Joomla and keep the door open, the door of the plow. So I said this in my live stream. In Canada and other northern countries, when the lakes freeze over, you take a plow out onto the ice and you plow an ice rink. Now, the guy driving the plow, which typically is maybe a pickup truck or it's a snow plow or maybe even an excavator, he keeps the door open because if he hears the ice crack, he jumps because he does not want to go through the ice with with the truck.
The truck.
And I think people notice this. If you take a look at some of the key people in Joomla from the past and the present, they're offering WordPress versions of their products. Akiba.
Two notable ones obviously comes to me: Akiba, Rocket Team, UTeam. Again, these are some of the oldest people who have been with Joomla, and all three are offering WordPress alternatives for their products.
Yeah, and myjoomla.com is now my site, so you can maintain Joomla sites and WordPress sites. Smart Slider.
Yeah.
Slider 3.
They have it pretty much on every platform. Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of people, and it's just the wise thing to do in business, who have the door open in case the thing goes through the ice.
Diversify.
My income is not 100% from Joomla. I do narration.
Well, you're safe then.
I do narration work. I do run a YouTube channel for a client. I do the training tutorials. I can do training tutorials for any product as long as I learn them. But I think when we look around, we see a lot of people that they haven't left Joomla. Like I say, I'm addicted to eating. Sometimes I have to eat 3 times a day. And so I've got to be responsible. I'm 54 years old. I have maybe, if I'm going to retire someday, I have to get my pensions together. I don't have a lot of pensions. I'm not doing poorly, and I'm rich by fabulous standards by the many people in the world who are looking for their next meal all the time. But it's how we prepare or anticipate or even watch for those shifts in life. It may very well be, too, that people listening to this may not be doing a lot of work in Joomla because some new opportunity comes along and they go down that route, and that would be okay as well.
And that's the end of Rapid Fire.
Hooray!
Yeah, it seems to me like that was a lot harder on me than it was on you.
I told you.
Yeah, at this point we usually ask people, is there anything else that we can ask you? But I think we've talked quite a bit about things that are on our mind and close to our heart. So I will say that when I met people at Forum for the Future, got lots of positive feedback about Joomcast. They really like listening to it, and I felt really good about that. Thank you for your support of Joomcast. There are some people that I talked to that are looking forward to interviewing. We have another interview coming up Friday. We're going to be interviewing Steve Burge from Joomla Shack OS Training. So listen, if you're out there and you're a Joomla person and you'd like to be on Joomcast, hit us up, contact us. We'd like to hear your story. Now that we're done traveling around the world, we'll hopefully get back.
We're gonna make sure we do 2 episodes a month. Yes.
Yes. Every
and
other
I think
week.
That's something we can contribute. Again, you don't code, I don't code. I'm trying to get into Joomla teams and see if I can help with stuff that I am capable of, but I think with Joomcast at least we can get the voice out, the opinion about from the volunteers and the other end, and maybe start a discussion about why it is happening, whatever is happening, rather than sweeping it under the rug all the time.
And we can do that with class and panache and with kindness. Because it's not
what is panache?
Panache. I don't know. We'll talk about it after the recording because I have to look it up. But
why did you say that then?
Panache is sort of like with Lair. Panache.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
Anyways, the issue of a community getting along is not that we don't talk about what the problems are, is that how we talk about them or how we handle disagreements, we do it in a way so that we can each come out as winners and things can move forward and people are not diminished as human beings in...
And it should be respectful.
Yeah.
It should be respectful. Even when you have a disagreement, it should be respectful.
All right. Well, Chaitin, that's it for episode 13.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great talking to you, Tim. But I really feel relieved talking to you about all this stuff. Yeah. I just wanted to get this out of the system so at least we know we're doing our bit, which is starting a healthy discussion about what's going on in the community.
Yeah, exactly. All right, my friend. Well, Joomcast is recorded live on location using Zoom, Audacity, and a bent coat hanger. just unlock things really well. If you want to reach Chetan personally, his Twitter handle is at Chetan Madan. That's C-H-E-T-A-N-M-A-D-A-A-N. And if you want to reach me, Tim Davis, you can reach me at basicjoomla.com. So signing off from Canada and
India. Thank you for listening so far.
Until the next time, enjoy your Joomla sites.
God bless.